Li Chin thought hard but not long, and he took a decision, and the choice he made was neither or rather both. A very different decision he took. What did he do? Li Chin did sell stocks to fund redemptions, but with the balance left with AIC, along with whatever he could borrow from banks, he invested in a grand old-fashioned old financial stock of McKinsey Financial Corporation in his portfolio, which he had and his staff knew very well. A well-researched company which was stable, which had all the beautiful things which it could offer. He just took an investment into that company, McKinsey Financial. As a result, the stock prices jumped from $15 to $18 overnight. $3 jump is a huge jump in the stock market, right? In April 2001, AIC sold McKinsey for $30 per share. Unit holders of AIC made $400 million and AIC a handsome return. Li Chin later bought and turned around Bank of Jamaica and funded philanthropic projects which have to do with the well-being of mankind, right? This is what Li Chin did. Now, the success of Li Chin's thinking and action was a result of an unconventional approach of mixing and matching the best of the two worlds, two choices of integration. What did he do? He did not sell all and get into trouble. Neither did he stay with the existing stocks and get into trouble. He did bit of both, and then he ensured that he was able to come out of it, not only come out of it, but also prosper with the new strategy. For those of us who are into strategic management process, those of us who are into strategic working, this is a very useful way of looking at our strategic thinking and action, right? The thinking process Li Chin followed is common to some of the most innovative and successful people today. Many do it now, many do it. It wasn't the case those days, it was something unique. These leaders have the predisposition and the capacity to hold two diametrically opposite ideas in their heads. To sell or hold. I'll partly sell and partly hold, and then I'll get some benefit of it. But how to do it is a certain process. He had it in him as a thinking process. It was natural to him. Is it that only Li Chin could do it? No, you and I can also do it. We are taking a success story of a person who had it natural in him. If the natural thinking process of a successful person is put into a certain structure, a model, then anybody can replicate the model. All you need to do is to follow it step by step. That's what the subsequent chapters are explaining to us, right? And now, the opposable thumb. I'm coming to three different concepts which I would like to explain. One is the opposable thumb concept. Second is the concept of single versus multiple working hypothesis. And then the opposable mind. These three concepts are the foundation or the cornerstone of integrative thinking. So let's take the first one, the opposable thumb. Okay, now let me show you something. This is my thumb and these are my fingers. Now when I want to hold my pointer in my hand, when I'm holding the pointer in the hand, I can hold it like this. Now assuming that I do not have a thumb, assuming like Eklavya, now could I use this particular pointer? I may adapt my fingers to use it, right? I have a cup here in front of me. And this cup, I got four fingers and one thumb. Can I hold the cup without the fingers? One of you may say, yes, I could do it. But is it very convenient? It's an adaptable situation, right? But if you look at the cup, and if I want to hold the cup, if I take the thumb and I clasp it around it, what happens is, this is in the opposite direction of the fingers. That's why it is called as opposable thumb. Opposable thumb. It opposes. But because it opposes, it grips. Because this opposes, I'm able to grip my pointer. Because this opposes, I'm able to take my pen and grip it in my hand. I can write with my pen by gripping it with my thumb. The point to be noted is that because we have an opposable thumb, we are able to get many things done. So the thumb is pointing in a different direction, 90 degrees to my fingers. It may point in the opposite direction as well. So because the thumb is pointing opposite, and the fingers are in a different direction, we call it an opposable thumb. Now this is a concept. When I say concept means this thumb is connected to my brain. The muscles of the thumb, the muscles of the fingers are connected to the brain. Now, if you assume for the time being that that particular nerve or the connection of the thumb to the brain is dead, would you be able to grasp it? You may do it later on by adapting. That is a different story. Normally, nobody will be able to grasp, will be able to clasp a pointer or a cup or anything. Right? Now, this is a point to be noted. Because the thumb is there, we are able to get things done. Because there is an opposition, we are able to get things done. Because I know that there is a thing called bad, I know what is good. But for the fact that there is a dichotomy, we cannot understand the meaning of A and B. Good is good because there is something called bad which we have identified. So the point to be noted is that the opposable thumb is an integral part of any process. So don't look at the thumb as something which is negative. Don't look at something negative as negative, in other words. Right? So let's see what is in store for us. It may appear as if the example of Lee Chin may be applicable only in certain business scenarios. It's not so. There are innumerable examples wherein integrative thinking and action have been used and continue to be used in other scenarios, social, political, home, etc. Without panicking or simply settling for one alternative or the other, these people are able to produce a synthesis, a combination that is superior to either opposing idea. The fact that he said, partly let me redeem and partly let me hold, partly let me put it in text talks, was itself a powerful idea. It had a risk element, but he took it, right? Integrative thinking is a term used for this process, or more precisely, this discipline of concentration and synthesis. That is a hallmark of exceptional businesses and people who run them. We use the metaphor of the opposable thumbs that have been gifted only to human beings. The unique thumbs that create tension by opposing thumbs and fingers allow a person to write, thread a needle, carve a diamond, paint a picture, guide a catheter up through the to unblock an artery. Doctor does this, right? These are all possible because there's a thumb. The thumb brings about the gripping. It makes you use your fingers to grip something and get your things moving ahead, right? All these actions would not be possible without the tension between the thumb and the fingers. When we set out to learn to write or sew, paint or golf, we practice using our opposable thumbs, training both the key muscles involved and the brain that controls them. Without exploring the possibilities of opposition, we would not have developed either its physical properties or the cognition that accompanies and animates it. But for the fact that somebody opposed that human beings can't fly, would we be flying today in jets, in aircrafts? Not possible. Somebody somewhere said that human beings cannot fly. And somebody somewhere said, two brothers, Wright brothers said that, who said, we'll try, we'll get into the possibility thinking that people can fly. And then they set about preparing their craft, whatever they did, and then they flew for a few seconds and they crashed. But they proved that it's possible. Because there was an opposition, somebody said, no, we'll do this. But for the fact that we are restless, but for the fact we think that this can't be done, there is somebody who comes and says it can be done, and he does it and he shows it. So for every no, there's a yes. For every opposition, there's a proposition. Now this is something on which we all need to trigger. Emerging leaders, emerging managers, they actually are into integrative thinking. Some very good politicians I've seen, they're into integrative thinking. I'm not mentioning names right now. They're into integrative thinking. They look at this and that, not exclusive. It's so important to understand this because this is what makes the group good and the group synergy happen. Right? Without exploring the possibilities of opposition, we would not have developed either its physical properties or the cognition that accompanies and animates it. How will I look at something from different setting and angle? Now, when I say cognition means, let's say there's a table in which there's a bottle, there's a piece of chalk, and there's a textbook of integrative management. Now, when I come here, I look at all the three and I can safely say there's a classroom going on wherein the professor wants a bottle of water and he's using the chalk to write on the blackboard and he's teaching the subject integrative manager. One cognition. Everybody who comes in will cognize it that way, right? But do you have the capacity to cognize it differently? Can you think of these three things differently? Could I look at the bottle differently in connection with the chalk, in connection with the book? Not one, two, three, all different ways of thinking of the three things differently in the background. Now, if I have the capacity to do that, then I am in the path of integrative thinking. So the same thing can I see differently? The same thing can I see differently? That's where the cognition part of it starts. And when it starts, it has a huge amount of possibility which opens up into complex problem solving and decision making. Right? Similarly, we were born with an opposable mind and we can use to hold to conflicting ideas in constructive tension. Tension is used to think our way into a new and a superior idea. Now, before I proceed to this particular topic, let me talk about the importance of the opposable mind. But for the opposable mind, we wouldn't be doing what we are doing. But for the opposable mind, we wouldn't be taking ourselves into the progress of what we are doing today. The technological progress of internet, the various smartphones which we are going through are all cases of somebody who said that it can't be done and somebody else did it. So, but for the fact that there is an opposition, progress doesn't take place. If everything was the same, there was no opposition, do we all not realize that it is not possible to progress? And more importantly, progress without conflict, progress for the better is integrative thinking. You may have an opposition with me, I may run you down and become an autocratic leader and we can progress. But when I do that, what am I doing? I am eliminating you and a few people who are like you. I am eliminating opposition. We are not talking about that. You are opposing me. I am proposing something. And both of us, we are seeing each other's point of view. So your opposition and my proposition, both of us see the opposite points of view, sit together, and then we see how best we can synergize. An important aspect of any negotiation in a company, a management-labor negotiation needs to have an integration. The best of both worlds. What we say as yours, mine, and ours. There's an old film by that name, Yours, Mine, and Ours, right? So, having said that, now I'm taking the next topic, what is called a single versus multiple working hypothesis. Single versus multiple working hypothesis. Now, what's a hypothesis? It's a supposition or an explanation, a theory, that is provisionally accepted in order to interpret certain events or phenomena and to provide guidance for further investigation. Let me explain. You are listening to me with a hypothesis. What's a hypothesis? You are listening to me with a theory that whatever you are going to be listening to me is useful for academic purpose. Let me take one hypothesis. One hypothesis will be students who are listening to me are listening to me because they would like to have a benefit for the purpose of exam. One hypothesis. Now, if you retain yourself with that hypothesis, that I have to listen to this particular video lecture because I want to pass my exams well. Single hypothesis it is called as. Then anything and everything that is academically linked to your thinking process for the purpose of exam will be useful. Anything and everything that I am saying which you think is useful for the exam, you will accept. Any other thing which your thinking does not accept about what I say, you will reject. Let me assume for the time being that 20% of what I say let me assume that 20% of what I say right now is academically useful for you viewing me. Only 20%. What will be your verdict about my lecture? No good. It's not useful for the exam. And you'll go along and tell everybody in the WhatsApp saying that it was no good. I'm sure. It's not about you being right or wrong. It's about the way you think. That is based on, this is what is called as a single hypothesis. One single paradigm. My single hypothesis says that this is what I'm seeking. If I get this, it's okay. If I don't get this, that's it. Now, another student, he says, look, I would like to listen to this lecture. It's useful for my academics, for my exams. It's useful for my knowledge. It's useful for transforming myself. He is using what is called as multiple working hypothesis. He is listening to my lecture for different purposes, not only one single purpose. So he may find perhaps a better usefulness, I don't know. Or he may also find only 20%, perhaps, it's possible. You see, how the human beings interpret a certain event is totally left to their cognition and the choices they make. So when you say that a certain thing was not good, it's not good with respect to what you think is good. If you say certain thing is bad, it's bad with respect to what you think is bad. But if you pause, take a step on the side and look at it from a different angle, you might realize that that was a single working hypothesis. So in integrative thinking, friends, we are encouraging us to enter into what is called as multiple working hypothesis. Look at the various frame of reference from where you can absorb anything. Take the stock market. Prices go up. What are you supposed to do? Sell. Many people don't sell. When the prices go up, you have never bought. What are you supposed to do? Wait for the prices to come down? Maybe. But if you are a creative thinker, you'll say, wow, things are going up. Let me see what I can do in this also. I'm leaving the integrative thinking to you. When the prices go down, what do people do? They sell, unfortunately. Non-integrative thinkers. Integrative thinker will look at something else. Prices are coming down. I have stocks which are already with me at a higher price. What will I do? Maybe I buy more. Maybe I hold and do something with what Leechin did. That's creative thinking. Multiple working hypothesis. Right? So let me run through this whole thing once again. I mean, just to explain to you. The hypothesis is a supposition or an explanation, a theory that is provisionally accepted in order to interpret certain events or phenomena and to provide guidance for further investigation. I'm taking certain assumptions on where I'm working out. People who are doing research, PhD, they go through what is called as hypothesis checking. They check for hypothesis, right? Now, a hypothesis may be proven correct or wrong and must be capable of refutation. It must be capable of challenge. If it remains unrefuted by facts, it is said to be verified and corroborated. I am taking an example to explain this to you. In short, a hypothesis is a set of assumptions that we make before an action which we consider as valid until proved otherwise through actual testing and experience. Let me take you to the example itself directly. Thus, in winter, we might not carry umbrella in a place like Mumbai as there would be no rains. Imagine the month of November, December in Mumbai. We may not carry umbrellas in Mumbai. None of us would do it, isn't it? Now, let's see what happens. The above example is a case of a single working hypothesis. In the single working hypothesis, I am assuming 100% almost. I say that in the month of November, December, Jan, which is a winter month in Mumbai. We hardly have a winter here these days, of course. So, we would never carry an umbrella. We would never carry an umbrella. Why? Because we are operating on a single working hypothesis. It would never rain, inverted commas, never. It would never rain in the month of November, December. It will be stupid to carry an umbrella. Fair enough. In a single working hypothesis, we make a single assumption and seek solution. In business, for example, we seek an either or choices. Just as we do for this umbrella thing, We do it in organizations also, right? Do we invest in profits in expansion or pay dividends to shareholders? The company has made profits. So companies usually take an either or approach. They used to rather. These days they have changed. From the profits that are generated, we give dividends to the shareholders. Or do we take the profits and go for further expansion? Either or approach. Or do I preserve a conservative culture for steady growth, or do I go for an ambitious culture of aggressive growth? Do I take all the profits, keep them as reserves in the book of accounts, and just be content and be very solid and stable and not grow, carry on with the existing business? Or do I venture out adventurously into growth, taking a risk? These are the two opposing things that could happen. But again, as I told you, in modern days, these two are getting integrated by many companies. Partial risk and partial stability, both they are doing, right? Make or buy in a purchase decision. Those of you who are working in purchase departments, you'll be always faced with this make or buy. The production people will say that we would like to take this component, make it in the company itself, in-house, with existing machinery and all that. They may have to invest in the machines as well. On the other hand, they'll say, it's not worth it. It's not feasible to make it here. We'll buy it from outside. Most of the assemblies, the components of the assembly is bought from outsourced sources. They don't make it. So the make or buy decision again is a either or decision, right? In a multiple working hypothesis, the second one, we make more than one assumption and seek solution. What do we do here? In the above example of the rains of the umbrella which I spoke about, there would be a multiple hypothesis which would be as follows. There would be no rains in winter in Mumbai, but it's possible that a freak shower may occur. It's possible that a freak shower may occur. These showers could create a havoc to the city. I tell my brother, let's say me and my brother are talking in the month of winter, and I am thinking integrative. He's not. So he says, no need to carry an umbrella, you're stupid. Now, just take this example for the purpose of illustration, okay? Nobody would do it, I know. So he'll say, no need for an umbrella. I say, what? I utter these statements. There would be no rains in winter in Mumbai, I know it. But what if a rain comes? Somebody will say, I'm a negative thinker. Organizations need to have such thinkers. Organizations need to have such thinkers. They are not negative, but they are looking at the possibilities, right? It is possible that a freak shower may occur, I'm telling my brother. And then these showers could create a havoc to the city. We had it once in Mumbai. Now, I am looking at that frightening experience and I say, let me carry an umbrella, right? Now, what am I doing? I am into multiple hypotheses. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if that happens? Right or wrong, frightening or not frightening is not the issue. The issue is that some people think like this, some people do not think like this. The people who do not think like this usually have a critical approach towards the people who think like this. And so, do I have to reject these people who think multiple hypotheses? Many people do that. Imagine a boss-subordinate relationship. The subordinate is an integrative thinker, and he comes out with the possibilities of what happens in the shop floor, in a production unit. He says, sir, this can go wrong, this can go wrong, this can happen, this can happen. Boss says, no, the eventuality of other things happening is less. Don't worry, he says. Now, the youngster is arming himself with possibilities. Right or wrong is not the issue. The boss says, look, I've done it before. The possibility of this going wrong is very remote. So don't worry about it. Until one day, one of the possibilities actually happen. A breakdown in a machine, a fan belt going completely haywire. It can happen. Now, are we saying that we have got to only do this analysis and keep ourselves prepared for everything wrong and worse that could happen? No. We are just telling ourselves one simple thing. Keep your possibilities open. Understand that anything can happen. Are you able to map the various possibilities? Because when you map the various possibilities, you are understanding how integrative thinking can happen. In one of the production units where I was working, a particular machine was giving a funny noise. And the works manager, very veteran in production, 25 years of experience, he was just walking by, I was a trainee. And he just had a glance, he said, something is wrong with the machine. We just had the maintenance done a few days earlier. I said, sir, it's okay. He said, anyway, check out, and he walked away. Would you believe it? After 1 hour, the machine broke down. There was something that went wrong. Just by hearing the noise, he could say that. That's experience. Now, that experience comes because he has trained himself into a multiple approach way of thinking. Right? So, in spite of oiling the machine, in spite of maintaining the machine, it broke down. Does this happen with a life or not? Many times. People say that I like to make millions and retire early. Nothing wrong about it. Now, what is the guarantee that after making millions, when you retire early, the millions will remain with you? I mean, I'm not giving a frightening scenario. I'm just asking this question. So, one can't be too sure about what's going to happen. One needs to be integrative approach thinker. When the integrative approach is alive in your mind, you know what happens? Situations don't hijack you. And you don't become rigid. You're flexible. And flexibility is a hallmark of a leader. Right? There are three assumptions which we are making in this case. There would be no rains in winter in Mumbai, but it's possible that a freak shower may occur and these showers could create a havoc to the city. So there are three assumptions that we are making, all based on experience and probabilities. Right? When we make a single working hypothesis, we take action accordingly, do not carry an umbrella. Right? While when we make multiple working hypotheses, we would take action differently. We may not carry an umbrella as a thought initially, but for the fear that a freak rain might occur, we may consider carrying one. Also, in the eventuality of a freak rains, we have assumed that there would be havoc to the city, so we may consider doing something about that too. Are we trying to be abundantly cautious in this case? From this example, it appears so, but we are aware. It's not about being cautious alone. It's about just being aware. You know, the commandos would get trained for rescuing people. 26/11 happened in Mumbai. If they were not into possibility thinking, would they have rescued the people out of the blue? Not possible. So are you into that type of a thinking process kept alive here? Do you realize that anything can happen and I should be ready to be proactive? Integrative thinking sets the tone for that. It helps you to do that, right? So in case of multiple hypotheses, we are prepared using a multi-pronged approach. Most important, right?